time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
People have been saying there are too many mutual funds since the 80s. For all the talk of smart beta, they haven't pulled in huge assets. The active managers are showing up in the ETF space.
Laura, it's always interesting to me looking at the home builder ETFs because housing in general tends to be a pretty good indicator on the overall health of the economy. And so when you see home building stocks roll over like we've seen recently, it certainly gets your attention. So let's start with the two main home builder ETFs, the iShares U.S. Home Construction ETF, ticker ITB, and the Spider S&P Home Builders ETF, XHB. Year to date, ITB is down over 30% and XHB is down over 25%. I guess first, that's a decent spread in performance between the two. So, what's driving that?
It's absolutely. It comes back to their portfolios, to be honest. ITB and XHB, these really could not be more different, despite the fact that they're both home builder funds, and that's not exactly a huge space to be in. You know, ITB is probably what you think of when you think of quote-unquote home builder ETFs. It's a vanilla market cap weighted fund. It's got about 60% of its portfolio specifically in home builder stocks, and then another 15% in construction supply companies and so forth. XHB, on the other hand, it says it's a home builder's ETF on the tin, but home builders actually only make up about 30% of its portfolio. It's got more in home improvement retailers and furniture suppliers and appliance makers and so on and so forth. So, and then it also has a different weighting scheme than ITB. Like I said, ITB is just vanilla market cap weighting. XHB, on the other hand, picks its stocks on the basis of market cap, but then it weights them equally within its index. So it ends up giving greater weight to some of these non-home builder stocks, and that's why you have such a low percentage of home builders, respectively. So, you know, ITB is much more of a pure play on the companies that are building homes, residential homes, while XHB is more of a holistic, these are all the things and appliances and processes that go into making your house a home. So that's kind of the general overview.
Out of curiosity, what have flows looked like into these two ETFs? Is there anything we can glean from looking at year-to-date flows or even just looking more recently?
Yeah, that's a good question. So XHB and ITB, like you said, they're both down for the year. So it shouldn't really be that surprising that they've both lost a fair bit of investor assets. However, whereas XHB is down about $375 million year-to-date, ITB is down $1.1 billion in flows year-to-date. And I think that really has to do a lot with this 5 or 6 point spread in performance that we mentioned earlier, because both ETFs are perfectly fine instruments. They trade really well. They're both really large liquid funds. I would add, however, that XHB is substantially cheaper than ITB. It's about 35 basis points compared to ITB, which is 43-ish. So, you know, that's probably also contributing as to, you know, adding some stickiness to XHB's assets as well. So
anything more recently, just in terms of maybe investors trying to catch the falling knife?
I haven't looked at the more recent numbers, I haven't looked at the more recent numbers.
That's okay. Well, before we talk about some of the underlying drivers of performance in home builders, I did want to ask you about the Invesco Dynamic Building and Construction ETF, ticker symbol PKB. I don't believe ETF.com technically classifies this as one of the home builder ETFs, but if you look at the holdings, there are some similar holdings here. You have D.R. Horton, Pulte Group, Lowe's, Home Depot. So is this just viewed as being more geared towards, I don't know, perhaps industrial construction or being more infrastructure related?
Oh, that's a really good question. So I think the reason why PKB wasn't included in our home builders category is because it focuses more on just construction generally. And there's I mean, there's more to construction than just building residential homes. I mean, there's obviously industrial construction as well. But there's also the building supplies, you know, concrete makers and asphalt makers. There's tractor supply companies are, I think that's the largest company in PKB is a tractor supply company. So, you know, it's a much broader take on the concept of construction. But I got to say, look, this isn't really an enormously broad theme here. There's like only so many options you have to fill a portfolio. And that's why it's so key to look inside the portfolio, look under the hood and understand not just what stocks are in it, but how they're weighted, because that's really going to make the difference.
Yeah, and if you look at the performance of PKB, it's down 27% year-to-date, so right in between ITB and XHB. So let's talk about underlying performance drivers here. And I guess I'll be the bearer of bad news. I won't make you do that. So we had housing starts down in September, though, you know, some of that was probably weather-related with Hurricane Florence. New home purchases fell in September. Though I think a potential caveat there is perhaps a shortage of new inventory. Existing home sales are down. Mortgage applications are down. And, of course, underpinning all of that is rising interest rates, right? The 30-year mortgage is now around 5%. It's jumped a full point just over the past year. So, look, we're all just speculating here. But do you think the weakness in home builders is primarily rate-driven? Do you think there are some real underlying concerns in the economy? Both? None of the above? What's your take?
I like how, as you were listing off all the drivers there, you tried to find the silver lining.
I did.
we do tend to see housing markets as a bit of the canary in the coal mine, right? And when home buying dries up, that has ripple effects into the rest of the economy. That's just historically how it has been. As far as rising rates and rising costs and the impact it's all going to have on buyers, you know, I should caveat first by saying I'm not a housing market expert, so please take my opinion with a heaping ton of salt here. But I do think that people maybe don't realize or don't want to realize that there is a rising generation of consumers with not enough disposable income to buy houses in the first place, right? There's the millennial investor, the millennial consumer is saddled with historically high levels of student loan debt and credit card debt and, you know, a decade or more of not being able to find anything but low-wage jobs. You know, they're just not going to be buying houses at the rate that our economy kind of needs them to. So I think that if anything, this is just going to be exacerbated over the next few months and years. But one other thing I should mention is that I don't think you can discount the impact that the tariffs are and will continue to have on the home builder space. If you make aluminum, if you make steel, if you make Chinese home appliances, make all of these things more expensive, well, then, yeah, it's going to have an impact on home builders because they need all these things to make their houses. So, and they're going to be passing these costs on to consumers. So the longer the tariff trade war continues, quote-unquote trade war continues, I think the worse this is going to get.
It's interesting that you mentioned the tariffs. On a personal note, my wife and I are actually in the process of renovating our kitchen. And in talking to several different contractors, every one of them has mentioned tariffs and rising prices. Now, I think part of it is sort of a sales tactic, right? They want you to sign the contract now, and they're saying if you wait, prices may go up because of the tariffs. But I think it is interesting. I think certainly that's been an impact there. You know, going back to your point on millennials, there's the classic line, and I saw this in a Bloomberg piece last week, that prospective home buyers aren't buying home prices. They're buying a monthly mortgage payment. Right. And I actually walked through an example on the show a couple of weeks ago showing that a 1% difference on a $300,000 mortgage ends up being about $200 more a month in a mortgage payment. And I do think when you're budgeting money, you know, look, that can obviously make a difference. You mentioned the student loan debt that a lot of millennials are carrying. I think another thing that you could add to that is we have seen rising prices overall in the housing market. And so I think it's tough finding a starter home that is reasonably priced, right? And so I just wonder if sort of the combination of all these things is what home builders are looking through when you look at the performance of the ETFs.
Oh, absolutely. It's all connected, right? It's all just one big tangled mess that is contributing to why these home builder ETFs aren't doing so hot right now. I also think you can't really discount maybe some wariness from home buyers about the 2007 housing crash.
No question.
People are still a little jittery about that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so, I wonder if every time we see home builders or housing starts or whatever start to roll over, that you're right, maybe that gets unnecessarily magnified just because of the psychological scars some people are still carrying from the housing bubble. You know, everyone is looking for that canary in the coal mine. So I think you're right. There may be something to that. Laura, we have just a few minutes left here. I have to circle back around to one other ETF, if for no other reason than its ticker symbol. The Direction Daily Home Builders and Supplies Bull 3 Timeshares. So the ticker symbol is NAIL. Great ticker. And as the name states, this is a triple levered play on home builders. So something we would never recommend. But if there are some riverboat gamblers out there and they want to play a rebound, this is an option. I'm just saying. We have about a minute here. Anything you would add to that?
So this is a experience of a fund. Say that. If you are insistent on trading a triple leverage product that is down 41% over the past 30 days and has an expense ratio of over 100 basis points, you know, more power to you. Just be sure you know what the heck you're up to, right? You'd better have a very clear entrance and a very clear exit strategy, and don't sit in the fund for very long, or any leverage product, really. You really don't want to sit in it for more than a day or two, because you will get burned. These funds are not leveraged on their yearly returns. They're leveraged on their daily returns of their index. So you really, that's a distinction that I say every time we talk about leverage products, but it bears repeating because so many investors get it wrong. This is not a product to buy and hold. NAIL is down over 70% year to date. That's more than twice what ITB and XHB are down. So,
yeah, and we should point out with any of these ETFs, obviously the levered, but certainly ITB and XHB, these are potential small satellite holdings. These are really thematic plays. And when you dabble in these narrower segments of the market, right, you can certainly have big swings like we've seen recently. Laura, we'll have to leave it there. Always fun chatting. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
That was ETF.com's Laura Krieger.